This is a tripod broadcast.
Well, let's start recording, so...
We just did.
Okay, cool. I think this is a key show to listen to because it's all about emotional masturbation. Journalistic integrity. It encapsulates everything that we're about.
And I'm sorry.
Now, give that some thought.
Yeah.
With Addison.
I can't be mad at you. You got a haircut.
And Matt.
I would recommend that you stop listening right now.
Stop on the way to Colorado.
I don't know if it's that there's more drugs in California or if...
I think there are more drugs in California than there are in Colorado.
I think there are, I think...
It's a larger state.
I think the thought process behind moving there is based in kind of a neurosis that's drug-induced.
Okay.
If I had to say, I would say that there's a lot of drugs that are coercive to bad decisions.
Yeah. So basically what you're trying to say is that drugs...
make you do bad things.
And mess with your mind?
Yes.
Not true. Not true.
Yeah. I've gotten a lot of comments.
There's literally no case studies,
science,
no evidence,
right?
No, nothing to back up the claim that any drug messes with you mentally. At all. It doesn't happen at all.
So it must be true then, because you know I don't believe in science. So if there's no science that says something's true, then it's probably true because there's no science.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah. The absence of evidence is not the evidence of absence or something like that.
Or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Anyways, this is not how I wanted to start the show, but...
Well,
here's how I wanted to start the show.
Go ahead.
Welcome to Give That Some Thought, a higher thought radio program for your ears. You're looking at me a little weird.
I mean, that's what you want
to
do. But...
what I'm trying to do is appeal to a richer audience.
Okay.
Because we don't make any money off of this.
Yeah, but do rich people pay for podcasts?
I mean, I figure if we get a rich enough person to listen to this, they'll just write us a check.
Yeah.
Just here's $100,000.
What about that? Wouldn't that be a good idea for a podcast? Just like pick like a rich billionaire and just do like the podcast for him.
Just him.
Yeah. Not even a famous billionaire. Just an average billionaire.
Just your run of the mill billionaire.
Uh-huh. And then do as much research about him as you can do and then just make a
do
podcast.
Do the show for him every day.
Or him
what
or her.
He's into.
Or her.
Yeah. Or her. What he's into.
Yeah.
Things that he does, the cars he likes, the people he associates with.
Knock off a couple hundred episodes, wait for him to discover it, and be like, this is an entire group of people who are totally devoted to me. I'm going to...
send their kids to college.
Well, I'm going to
click
through on their Amazon banner on their page.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm gonna get a free audiobook from these guys.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm going to hit up that audible.com free trial offer.
Yeah.
What we really want, sir, is a money order for $2 million, please.
We'd prefer that
over the
Audible cutback.
Mm-hmm.
No, I got a lot of comments on our last few episodes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I had a couple comments on those comments, too, because you forwarded them to me.
I forwarded a couple, yes. I got a couple in person as well. I don't know how to say this. These are never easy conversations to have.
It's just best to just say it plainly and get it out there.
You annoy the hell out of people.
Okay. I know this. 30 years of walking this planet and most of the...
it hasn't taught me one thing.
Most of the feedback I've gotten back is negative. I'm the YouTube comments of people. Seriously.
I think we both annoy... people equally, though, because towards the beginning of the show, probably the first half of the episodes that we've done, and we're on, what, 27 now? 26, 27?
Yeah.
Over the first half, I think I annoyed people a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
And you annoyed people in the context of talking over me, which I think we've both gotten better at.
Yeah, yeah.
Of kind of give and take and that kind of thing. But sometimes I think we don't... because we're just talking to each other, I think we come from a lot of presupposed ideas.
About ourselves.
Like, I know where you're at, and so I don't need to fully explain where I'm coming from. I just need to explain the point that I know you're going to disagree with.
Exactly.
For example.
Yeah.
And I think you do the same thing with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe our listeners sometimes are like, what about all this other stuff?
Where's the context? They're
right.
Asking for context on us.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I think.
Gotcha.
I think if I had to say...
But, so we're going to try to explain a little bit more.
Yes, and this is...
flesh ideas out a little bit more. Not necessarily ideas that we're talking about, but so you can understand our frame of reference a little bit more.
Yeah, and this...
Anyway, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to talk over you.
Oh, it's fine.
I'll I'll
apology accepted.
Yeah. Because I don't want to talk over you.
But this is
and like just keep talking and just like take away the conversation every time that you begin a sentence. I just stop you and like bowl over you. I don't want to do that anymore. So I'm sorry.
This is
and
the
I have to apologize to like I would have to apologize to everybody who's listening out there and say I'm. Like I should just let Addison talk more because he has great ideas. He has a great voice, and I mean I have neither of those things. So he should probably be the one doing the majority of talking, which he's going to do here in a minute once I finish this sort of rant that I'm on right now. But you know, I mean, he's just anyway. I'm sorry, Addison. I'll stop.
This is
what I like. I just like listening to you though. Okay, we'll stop.
This is going to be the episode for rich people though.
Okay.
So that's going to be the title of the episode. I've decided that right now. Mm-hmm. It's going to be the episode for rich people.
For rich people only.
Yeah. So if you, let's trim the fat right off the bat.
Uh-huh.
If you make under $200,000 a year.
Yeah.
Stop listening.
Well, we can't even listen to ourselves while we're talking right now. We should take the headphones
out.
Well,
we can because we can. We're the content. We're the show creators.
Okay.
We can right. we can listen to ourselves. But right. yes, if you make less than $200,000 a year, stop listening right now.
Sure.
Because we're not interested. what if as I was listening, what if I like looked at the stats for this episode and then like at like minute whatever this is, there's only like one listener that listened from here on out because everyone actually stopped.
I would be fine with that.
I'd be really curious to know who that one person is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Please. And why do you have such great taste, Mr. Mystery Person?
Mr. Well-to-do Mystery Person.
Exactly.
But on the flip side, if you make, let's put it this way, mm-hmm. let's issue a challenge. If you make over $200,000 a year, let us know. Send us an email.
Yeah.
Because I want to know about it. I want to know what that's like.
Mm-hmm.
Just tell me all about what you do with your money.
Maybe. Yeah, because it's everybody's business.
Well, or maybe a picture or two of your Ferrari or whatever it is, or your Lex, whatever yeah. it is that you drive. And then, maybe if you could send me a snapshot of like your profile on E-Trade, that'd be great.
Some photocopies of your bank accounts.
Some W-2s.
Some,
yeah.
Some bank statements, please.
Yeah. That'd be great.
If I could get an original of your long form birth certificate.
The long form, right. We want the embossed seal.
Uh-huh.
Let's not, none of that. Don't Obama us. Don't give us a birth certificate that doesn't exist.
It's the dumbest thing ever.
It's pretty dumb.
Yeah.
Show us your birth certificate. No, show us the long form birth certificate. No, show us the original, not a photocopy. No, show us one with the embossed symbol on it. No, show us one where it says that confirms all our preconceived ideas and notions about who you are. We don't like black people. I heard, speaking
for like
of that,
3 years,
yeah,
they did that.
I know. Well, they're still doing it. There's still a small segment of people who drink. I heard.
Yeah, but thankfully, no one's paying attention to them anymore.
The most recent thing that I heard about that was somebody very close to me, who shall go unnamed, said that they saw something on Facebook, which, of course, is where all good news originates.
Yeah.
But it was about how Obama's college records state that he was a foreign student. Which is completely understandable because I believe you can get scholarships and things like that as a foreign student if yeah. your parents were not born here.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty mm-hmm.
It's true.
Pretty common.
Yep.
Pretty basic. I don't know what the people that push that stuff around, I don't really know what they feel that they're achieving.
Yeah.
Like because to me, I have plenty to say about Obama's policies. If you were to ask me about the Affordable Care Act or how he's handled, you know, Benghazi or the NSA or whistleblowers or whatever, you know, I have plenty to say about his policies.
Or drone warfare.
Or drone warfare or on and on. I think
the fact that none of his major policies have changed from the Bush era.
When he said they would, yeah.
Well, yeah.
I think that commentary on the policies has a lot more to do. It's a lot more effective noise, if that's the case, because it's all noise, right? But it's a lot more effective noise if you're specifically saying, here's the problems that I have with this man and the way he does things,
mm-hmm.
not, you know, his birth certificate or where yeah. he was supposedly born or even a lot of the, you know, the whole taxpayer money thing, like, oh, you know, he spent this much flying around this kind of thing. Well, so has Bush, so did Clinton, so did every president
mm-hmm.
lives pretty lavishly, right? And yeah. I don't know that that's necessarily a bad thing. I mean, it's it's part of the job. You know, you have all these vehicles and the motorcade and things that are accessible to you and the vacations and things like that. Like, what do you hope to achieve by saying that? I don't get it, but
yeah. To make people angry over things they shouldn't be angry about.
Could you actually, I really want to keep up with our tradition of someone always getting up. So could you go grab my drink out of the freezer?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I would appreciate that. When I got here, for the listener, Matt's sauntering over to the freezer. I put a Nas energy drink, a Nas Active, in the freezer to cool it down. And it looks so good. I'm so thirsty. Oh. Anyways, now while I take a good drink of this, I'm going to let you talk about something that I'm really curious to know about. Walked in. First of all, we've had a lot of changes. As you guys know, I've had a baby. Matt moved. Matt got a new job. Walks with a little bit more of a spring in his step now.
Mm-hmm.
But I walked in, and there are scars.
Not scars, scratches.
Whatever you want to call them. Those are scars.
No, there will be scars.
They are scars.
No, they're scabs right now, but they're scratches.
That's what scars are. Well, anyways. His arm looks like...
Sorry, I don't want to talk over you. Keep going.
His arm looks pretty scratched up.
It's torn up.
Yes. And I asked him right when I walked in...
From like elbow to wrist, just completely torn up.
And I asked him when I walked in, I said, what is that? And he's like, oh, well, I'll explain. And so now is your plan to explain.
Yeah.
Or now is your time to explain, because I really want to know.
Yeah.
And I'm sure our listeners do too.
Welcome to give that some thought first off. I'm Matt.
Yeah. Thank you.
Welcome. It's Addison over there. And we're going
to start. Biting opens in his energy drink because he closed it too tight.
Anyway, it's Matt's story time right now. So pay attention, kids. Gather around the fire.
One of my favorite times.
Yeah. Uncle Matt is about to tell a story. Anyway, no, I started this new job at this bar and grill. It's a barbecue place.
Right. Local.
And so, worked Wednesday, worked Friday. Friday night was my second night there. It was a late night for everybody. Dishwasher didn't show up. So
good times.
We had a dishwasher guy who was on his second shift, and he walked out like at 8 o'clock.
Just, done with this.
Yeah, just left.
Which, for those of you that work office jobs, that's pretty common in that industry.
Kind of, especially like when you're low man on the totem pole and you're the dishwasher. Like, it's the worst job in the whole place. So, like around 11 o'clock, it was a good day. We were super busy, but, you know, the kitchen knocked it out and everybody was doing really well and,
right.
You know, helping out the dishes. Everybody was helping each other out and everything. So, our manager, the kitchen manager, there were four guys on the line and then her, and she, about 10:30, 11 o'clock, no, about 11 o'clock after the kitchen shut down, and before we were doing all cleaning, she brings in five giant shots of whiskey. In the rocks glasses.
Okay.
But, you know,
so
half full.
Big shots of...
Each shot of whiskey was equivalent to about two shots that you're going to buy at the bar. Let's say each one was about 2.5 fingers of whiskey.
Right.
Okay. So we all gathered around the prep table there, and she had them all. We all grabbed a shot, and when I first walked up, she's like, now, this doesn't happen every night, okay?
But, right.
You know, it's been a hard night, and you guys did good, so we're going to reward you a little bit.
Right.
So I said, oh, well, I don't drink.
And what?
Hold on. There was silence, and the manager and the three other guys all looked at me, and they're like, what? And I'm like, I'm just kidding. And everybody had a good laugh, and they're like, yeah, you have to drink if you're going to work here. But anyway, we all did the shots, and one of the guys doesn't...
What percentage of the places you've worked at, and I could ask myself this question, what percentage of the places have you worked at where someone has said the phrase, you have to drink to work here?
80%.
Yeah.
You know, a big portion. I've been working in restaurants,
and
so
I've
yeah,
even worked more office jobs and stuff, but yeah. Still, yeah.
People drink. People drink a lot. people
drink.
Love alcohol.
It's a fact, yeah.
So... We took the shots. Everybody took a shot and started going back to work. And one of the guys there was like, he's like, I don't like this whiskey. And he hands it to me. He's like, here you go, new guy. You get an extra shot. So I'm like, okay. So I took his shot. So I had like...
Four shots of whiskey.
I had at least 10 ounces of whiskey.
Yeah.
Within like a 5-minute period. Mm-hmm. And then went back to washing dishes.
Mm-hmm. I don't like where this story is going.
So an hour later, I was buzzed. And so the bartender comes back and he's like, guys, thanks for helping me out. And thanks for doing the dishes, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, you guys want any beers or anything? So all the guys were like, yeah, I'll grab a beer. And he looks at me. Nate was his name.
Okay.
He says, what do you want? And I was like, well, let's see. I like dark red ales, so just whatever you got draft. And he's like, okay. So he brings back a 32-ounce mason jar full of beer. Now they serve their drinks in mason jars. They have pints and quarts. It's a quart of
beer.
Of beer.
Yeah.
And this is like 6% alcohol. It's dark beer.
Oh, yeah.
So I drank that.
I don't like this is going at all.
And then about midnight, we're all done with the dishes, 12:30.
Kids, this is how you don't live your life.
They had a band downstairs, so all the employees went downstairs. The upstairs shut down. Everybody went downstairs to watch the band finish playing. It was about half employees, half customers.
Okay.
Okay. Later on a Friday night,
right.
12:30.
Just about to close down.
Yeah, so we finished our beers, and then we went down to Millstream. About a dozen different employees from
12:30, 1 o'clock.
Went down to Millstream, and I had two more beers, two stag, 16 ounces. I was in my cups, as they say. had a great conversation with the bartender.
You were not in a good decision making place. Is how we put that.
Had a good conversation with the bartender, Nate, Game of Thrones guy, Redditor.
Okay.
Comes from a religious background, but is kind of agnostic.
There's a Reddit meetup, by the way.
Really?
Here in St. Louis for RSDL. Yeah.
When?
We should go. I don't know. I got to look it up. I was invited, but I don't. Whatever.
Oh, I wasn't.
Well, I was invited on Facebook. So.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Anyway, so...
I don't even know if that counts.
Yeah. So, I'm way home. Get out of the car. It's raining. Slippery grass. Coming down the hill.
Right.
And, yeah.
There you went.
I slipped and fell. I was about to hit, like, get on the steps, and I hit the grass instead. And I slipped, and I slid down the hill. And
you slid down the hill?
Yeah, there's this little...
Like, on your backside?
Yeah, like, on my side. Like, I'll show you in a minute, like, where it is. But there's this little concrete embankment made out of these concrete blocks.
Yeah, like a little half wall kind of thing. Yeah,
exactly. And I slipped off the edge of that wall and scraped my arm all up.
All the way.
Yeah. When I was maybe 17, I tore my rotator cuff.
Uh-huh.
No, I was 18. I tore my rotator
cuff. Did you re-tear it the other night?
Well, that when I was 18, when I tore my rotator cuff, that was the end of Matt's dream of being a major league pitcher. you laugh, but... I was actually kind of in shape then. I mean, I was hitting 90 on the gun. I had
no kidding.
Had good velocity. I had great movement on my fastball. I was really wild, but I had good movement, good mechanics, good velocity, and I tore my
rotator cuff, and it all went down the drain.
Yeah, yeah, I did. So anyway, I did something to my shoulder, and it's I've been in constant pain since.
Oh, since the other night?
Yeah, yeah.
That's terrible.
I didn't notice it the next. I didn't notice it until the next morning because, you know, drunk. But yeah.
Hopefully, rich people drink too, and
oh, I know
they
do.
Will relate to this.
Excuse me, I had to sneeze.
Did you utter something in the Game of Thrones language?
No.
Is there a language in Game of Thrones?
Yeah, there's like four.
Are they full languages like Elvish and Lord of the Rings?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, there are a couple people who fleshed out. George R. R. Martin wasn't one, but there's a couple people who work for the show who their job is to like make sure
look
everything
that
sounds sounds right.
Right.
From a syntax point of view. But there's four. I think there's Westerosi, Bravosi, Valyrian, and then Dothraki are the four main languages that are spoken on the show, excuse me.
So there's Venerial, and what were the others?
A venereal, gonorrheal, syphilitis, and herpetus.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
No, Westerosi, Bravosi, Valyrian,
and HIV.
And Dothraki. Moving on.
Yeah, trying to alienate all those rich people. Anyways, do you bring anything to the table today, sir?
Sneezes. I just thought I had another one. Anyway, not especially, just because
I've got a couple things.
You know, over the weekend, I worked like 40 hours over like 3 to 4 days over the weekend. And then, haven't been doing anything since.
I put, I will say this, this morning, I put this week's episode of Give That Some Thought will be recorded later today. That's the second sneeze, and they are being tallied, sir.
Did you hear that one on mic?
I saw it.
You saw it, but did you hear it on mic?
I saw it.
It was totally self-contained.
I saw it.
I could sneeze, no sound.
Second sneeze. I updated our Facebook page, or I put a status on our Facebook page, and I said, this week's episode of Give That Some Thought will be recorded later today. Post topic suggestions in the comments. And by the way, that's facebook.com/givethatsomethought. You should go like it. That's where, you know, we just post updates about the episode, you know, things like this, you know, nothing special, but if you want to keep abreast of what's going on with the show, it's a good way to. And we got two comments.
Okay.
Now, the first one, well, the second one.
It wasn't about transgender people again, was it?
No.
Okay.
We don't have to talk about
that. One was.
I know that's a painful subject for you.
Well, no, that one was just. It's like, come on, man.
Well, there's definitely one of those here. The two comments.
Okay.
They both might be, but the one I'm going to take way more seriously because I'm gonna parlay it into an actual story that I have.
All right.
But the first one, all it says is black people.
No.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say to that.
Moving on. Yeah.
We don't need to talk about race because race it should be a dead issue. Like it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. But actually, I did have a thought about this. This week, I was actually talking to a friend of mine. We were talking about
Black friend.
Yes, the monikers of African American, and it seems like there's American, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's your quintessential white guy or American,
you're right? Yeah.
You could say American is you could it could be anybody of any race, right?
It should be if you're
It should be, but you could say a white person,
mm-hmm.
White guy.
Well, see, and that's the thing because it always weirded me out whenever I see a black guy hear a black guy with a British accent. But that's the thing. Same thing. If you say he's British, like we picture like a white guy, right?
Yeah.
But why? Like there are black people that are British,
mm-hmm.
and Asian descent, you know, yeah. people that look Asian or whatever that are British too.
Yeah.
Like the same thing with American. Like American doesn't mean anything except that you have a lot of debt and are probably fat.
Well, what's funny to me is that even the term African American. I think the term African American or Asian American.
Right,
it's more racist than saying that guy's a black guy. That person's Chinese
or whatever. Right.
Okay. That's more because, for instance, we don't say Caucasian Americans.
No, we don't. Or white people. Americans either.
Or we don't say white Americans. Yeah. Okay. We say an American. He's mm-hmm. He's American.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you say somebody is African American,
yeah,
you're
classifying them by that.
You're classifying it as black, but what you're doing is you're creating a subset of American.
Right.
Somebody who is a different kind of American, and therefore you are sectioning them off into some sort of other section or class that is not equal.
Whether for good or bad.
Or not, I don't want to say equal, but you're saying that they're different from you, and they don't have the right to the title of just American.
Right.
So yeah, I say black, and I've never said the term black like that. The black guy,
right?
I've never said that term, and someone has gotten offended.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. Well, because the popular idea is that to call someone black instead of African American is offensive, right? Like that's what you hear. That's what's understood. But again, in my experience, I've never. Called someone black or heard someone call someone black and it'd be like, hey man, it's African American, other than in jest.
Yeah.
I mean, you hear that all the time, but that's not, I've never.
Here's what it was. Our parents had it too good.
Okay.
The baby boomer generation,
mm-hmm.
and this is not a popular opinion.
Right.
The worst generation of all time. Worse than our generation?
No, I think so.
Worse than Generation X. Worse than Generation Y or Millennials,
mm-hmm.
worse than the tweens generation, the worst generation.
Yeah.
Okay. The reason why the PC culture sprang out of the 90s, mm-hmm. because there are these kids that grew up in the 60s, 70s, 80s,
yeah.
whose idea of a bad time
mm-hmm.
was not being able to smoke pot or not being able to party
yeah.
or getting grounded or
right.
you know not being able to get the phone. And then you had the materialism of the 80s. And then they grew up, and all of a sudden they have to have some sort of crusading cause. They have to have something to do, so why not police everybody's manners? Basically what it was. And solve problems that don't need solving.
And I would submit as Exhibit A in that argument, look at Mad Men.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's just a terribly different, like, I won't say everybody, because certainly there's subsections of culture that were different. Then obviously a dramatized view mm-hmm. of that. But a lot of people that grew up in that era are really messed up.
Yeah.
I mean, just with their families, with you know, because you had people returning from the war and creating different wars and creating their own idea of the American dream, and then suddenly it's where we are now with mm-hmm. these super divided sections of culture and things like that. And yeah, I'm not a fan of that or the Greatest Generation either. And neither one of those is.
I'm a fan of the Greatest Generation because if you think our great grandparents, they went through a depression, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where you didn't have anything mm-hmm. and there was no point in bitching about it because you didn't have it. So there's no point in complaining. You just grew up and
the generation after that, though.
I'm getting that, but not the generation after that, but you just dealt with your problems, right?
Uh huh.
So your parents grew up in the 1920s and then you grew up in the 1930s, 40s. You went through depression, then you went through a world war, and then you had kids and everything. The world was fine. There was peace. There was a cold war, but war was never in your backyard, at least for the Western world.
Mm-hmm.
So their kids grew up without any big struggle, right? Yeah. The parents, however, of those children grew up, you just deal with your problems. You shut up and you deal with it and you get through life. Life is hard. It's going to throw a lot of stuff at you.
That's what's going to happen until you die.
So those parents never had the conversation with the baby boomer generation of, hey, sometimes life is terrible, and life is mostly things you don't want to do.
Hard work.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Didn't have that conversation. So they grew up thinking, life is going to be awesome. And it was awesome because there was a bunch of money.
Right.
All, the 70s, 80s. You had this, I don't know. It seems to me like the baby boomer generation is...
Well, we're the same way now, only worse. Like, if you...
I don't think this current generation, the millennials and the Gen Y or whatever...
But you take like an 11-year-old
not
now?
Not as bad as the baby boomers.
Same problematic concept, though, because there's no hardship in life, right?
Will be. We're getting worse. There's hardship right now, and people who are in their 20s realize that, but the younger generations, they see it. Like, it's getting worse and worse, and it's only going to get worse and worse. Like, we're living in a culture or with that our governments and things like that
mm-hmm.
that's completely apathetic to what citizens need.
Mm-hmm.
And citizens are there to meet the needs of the government, not the government to meet the needs of the system. And that's the world we live in now.
But see, let me pose a different look at that, though. I think a majority of really young people might be okay with that. And that's why we saw so many young voters go for president like Obama, because I don't think they give a flying rip about spying on the citizens, the cost of the Affordable Care Act, all told, things like that. I think it's the idea of healthcare. It's the idea of a government that's watching out for you. It's the idea that, every day I'll wake up and I'll have Snapchat and Vine on my phone and I'll, a chicken in every pot and we're all good.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I think really, and as foolish as that sounds to people like us who are a little bit older, by the way, I turned 26 on Sunday. That was weird. But to people who are a little older, that idea is like, you're going to have to work for everything.
Yeah.
Or you're not going to have anything, whether material or otherwise. And I don't think you take someone 10 years younger than us, 15 years younger than us. I don't think they get that at all.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my opinion.
I think they will.
I mean, I don't mean to sound like get off my lawn. But
I think they will. It's just people who are 10...
get off my lawn.
People who are 10 to 15 years younger than us are 10 to 15 years old. So they will get it in the future. They're just kids right now. They're just children.
Yeah.
And I think we have older children right now. I think adulthood begins at 30 for a lot of people now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
But sum it up to say, I think our parents were the entitled generation.
Mm-hmm.
The baby boomer generation, and then from 60s, 70s, and 80s,
mm-hmm.
The people who grew up during those decades. I grew up during the 90s. I was born in 83, but, 90s kids grew up during the 90s and whatever.
Yeah.
But, I think
they
did
have...
Well,
you're just now 30, so you're just now an adult.
Yeah, exactly. They did have a sense of entitlement, and I can honestly say I've never expected anybody just to give me anything,
mm-hmm.
ever.
Mm-hmm. I think the majority of people do.
There's a lot of things I want, am I lazy? Absolutely.
Yeah.
I can be very, very lazy.
But you don't expect people to hand them to you.
But I don't expect to be taken care of either.
Yeah.
So, by anybody. So, government or parents or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's just, we live in this weird cyclical nature of culture where it seems like every generation, or maybe it skips a generation, but you have a good generation, then two trash generations, and then another good one. I think we're on the cusp of people who are right now between the ages of 35 and 15
yeah.
are going to be the greatest generation of you know,
right.
of our lifetimes.
Anyways, that was the first comment, and it spawned some good conversation, so, mm-hmm. you know, it was what it was. And the next one, I'm not sure if this is a serious thing or if it's based off of a news story. I'm going to turn it into a news story. Actually, let me make sure I got that queued up here. I'm going to turn it into a news story. But here's the comment. Whether or not women astronauts on their cycle should go into space.
Things like this totally annoy me. Was that the actual comment that you got?
That was the comment.
Who is this from?
Word for word. I'm not going to read their name. Or I can.
I mean, I don't feel like talking about it if we're not going to read their name. If they're going to,
well,
you don't
know them.
If they're not going to own up to this, okay. If they're not going to own up to the stupidity of that comment, then
well, but here's something to think about.
Yeah.
Because if when I yeah. first heard that, I did exactly what you did. I was like, "What is that?"
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought there were two aspects to this. Number one, because whether or not women astronauts on their cycle should go into space, like they were allowed to, like it's like in terms of a decision making thing. But
uh-huh.
on the flip side, maybe the body's going through something physically during that process that would actually hinder a spacewalk or being in the environment of space. I don't know that that's the case, but it's just where my mind went.
What things can women not do because of their periods? Tell me something a woman can't do because she's on her period besides go swimming.
Think rationally.
And that's just like...
No, well, it depends. Like some women, there can be a lot of pain associated
sure.
with. And for some, I don't want to, I'm not drawing generalities, obviously, but I have known women that's for like the first day, you're pretty much in bed.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Whether by choice or not, I'm not mm-hmm. going to say they're huge pansies, but, you know, so there's a possibility that you could be immobile for the day.
Half a day, I would say. Half day.
5 to 8 hours.
Or like, yeah. Hours. Not a day. Yeah. Hours.
So, in nothing. But if you're in the middle of a spacewalk, and I hate to get gross, but you have to take care of business,
mm-hmm.
that's not something you can do in a spacesuit.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, totally. It's not like... Not like male astronauts ever have to pee when they're on a spacewalk, and NASA invested hundreds of thousands of dollars into, you know, making sure that space suit can get rid of all bodily waste. I mean, you can poop and pee in a spacesuit just fine. You think I'm joking?
No, I.
You think they don't have a little suction tube that goes over your willy so that you can wee in zero G?
I could take this and so run with it.
You should. Go ahead. Just the concept of a
suction run... thing over your willy. You don't want me to run with that concept.
Okay. So, all right. Well, I was thinking
that's
where
I was
there.
Getting. No.
Here's the thing.
I mean, who doesn't like a suction thing over their willy?
Yeah. One of the only ways that men.
This is probably actually whatever rich person we already decided is still listening to this. You probably own a spacesuit because if you're rich, why wouldn't you? So why don't you tell us how it is?
Yeah. Here's the thing.
What is the thing?
It's using a woman's menstruation as an excuse for her not to be able to do something is a weak and invalid excuse given almost exclusively by weak and insecure men. Weak-minded and insecure men. Here, listen, if you're really superior to a woman, then prove it. Outthink her. Outsmart her. Don't just be like, oh, she bleeds, or oh, don't trust anything that bleeds for 4 days and doesn't die. Morons. Seriously. Okay, listen. For as long as we've been around, women have been having periods.
Yeah, it's
all animals, or mammals, menstruate, right?
Right.
I'm not sure the specifics of the animal kingdom. I'm not an expert in animals. I don't know.
Right.
What I'm saying is that for thousands and thousands of years...
If you ever meet talking animals, I expect you to ask them if they have periods.
I will ask them. That's the second thing I'm going to ask them.
What's the first?
Have you ever had a suction cup over your willy?
I want to see you ask that face to face with just the biggest tiger in the world.
Okay.
Just
well, no, next time in.
Excuse me, sir. Have you ever had a suction cup over your
next
belly?
Time in.
And then just with one swipe, he just takes your face off.
next time I'm in Narnia, I'll ask Mr. and Mrs. Beaver.
Yeah.
How things are going.
Yeah, and how the suction cup willies are working.
Next time I'm in Narnia, that's what I'm going to ask.
Next time.
Yeah. Anyway, there's nothing. It's so dumb because, number one, why wouldn't you want to study the effects of like one of the biggest parts of space travel?
You know how I feel
is understanding
that,
how zero gravity and the effects of not being on
a planet
Earth
with that much gravity
affects
right.
the body. How does it affect the menstruation cycle?
Maybe it stops it up.
Yeah, but it's a weird argument. Like okay, men get super horny, right? And sometimes we just have
we
that.
Do.
We have those blue balls. You just have to jerk off. Like it just has to happen, right? You get to that point. You know what I'm saying? You've been there where you're just like, oh man, I just gotta jerk off real quick, and that'll be fine. And then you get it. You get in that clear headspace. You're fine because you're done, and the horny is gone, and it's. You don't, and all of a sudden you're in a better headspace. You can think rationally now. You can make better decisions because you're not horny. Because sometimes the blue balls affects your mind. And it's a scientific physical fact that men act differently pre and post orgasm.
I'm not disputing that.
You know what happens. From your own personal research. And every man knows that from his own personal research.
I'm not disputing that, yeah.
Okay.
But.
So if our mental state can be hampered by whether or not we've touched ourselves today or in the last week, like then how is it a big deal if a woman has a period and has mood swings over the course of 24 hours once a month?
Yeah, I don't think it is.
Yeah. We're sex crazed animals every day of the week. Addison Todd, because we're men.
Right. I don't know why this is so loud.
Because I was just yelling.
That's probably why.
Yeah.
But
suddenly, because it's a woman and she's having it once a month, like it's male insecurity. It's the fact that we're scared
well, let me say
of
this
women
to
being
that.
Actually being equal. And it's not, you can't be equal. A woman can't be equal to a man because we're totally two different things.
Right. Well, hold on.
We're the same species, but we're different genders, so you can't have equality.
To that,
which,
though.
What you have.
That whole period thing, though, I've never been one to like. You know how if you hang out with guys that have girlfriends or wives or whatever,
yeah.
Like inevitably, if you're close enough, you get to that point where it's like, oh yeah, she was on her period.
Blah, you blah, talk blah, about blah, stuff, blah, blah, sure,
that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Well, I talk about stuff too, but I've never, and just thinking back, even over the whole time that I've known my wife, like I know when she's on her period. It's just it happens. Mm-hmm. Like it's not a secret, and. I've never found myself using that as an excuse for whatever discussion or whatever or, mm-hmm. or argument even or whatever took place. Now she has. She will say I'm being this way because I'm on my period. But I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Which to me, if you've got the brains, and maybe this is just one of the many reasons I love my wife. I don't know, but if you have the intellectual capacity to at least say. I am probably overthinking this because of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's all I really need as a man that's in a relationship with you. You know what I mean? Like, I don't, like, whatever the discussion was, we obviously had it and I'm fine with it or argument or whatever. And as long as you can at least take yourself with a grain of salt that, well, everything's not firing on every cylinder right now.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you can do that and know that from the ground up,
yeah.
Then what do I have to worry about?
Yeah.
And I've always felt that it's a crutch to say, you know, because you'll hear guys do that all the time, like, oh, she's on her period, so we fought about blah, 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 whatever it is. It's just stupid stuff that people fight about all the time. And it's just a crutch to be able to not have to say, I have to figure this out with her, or we have to get through this.
Mm-hmm.
It's a crutch to be able to say, oh, she's on her period.
Yeah.
To me, at least. That's how I look at it. But... You know.
Plus, women have been dealing with this every day of their life since...
For thousands of years, right.
Well, since they hit puberty, and so they understand that, hey, I'm feeling a little emotional today, so my decision-making might be off, or not their decision-making, but their emotional state's a little off. So they can make adjustments.
Right? Exactly. It's a taking yourself with a grain of salt.
An adult woman has been making those adjustments for more than a decade, right?
Right.
Like, she understands how to not be an irrational weirdo when she's on her period.
Right.
Okay.
Because she knows.
Just like a man who is an adult should be able to know how not to be an irrational molester, rapist, when he's horny.
And unfortunately, some of us fail at that.
Yeah.
And become rapists.
Yeah. Like, why is it okay for you know, white American dude to use a period excuse for Hillary, but it's not okay to use, like,
horniness excuse for Bill?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So let's sum this up, this whole conversation. If you don't be careful while you're on your period, you'll be a rapist. That's it.
Yeah.
Right? In a nutshell, that's what we're saying.
What we're saying is men don't rape and women don't have periods.
Yep. And so, society will be fine.
Yeah.
Fixed at best. Uh-huh.
So and in 100 years, we'll all be gone.
Yeah. Are you saying that procreation only has rape? Procreation only happens with rape?
No, but it can't happen without periods.
I have a way of shutting this conversation down.
Okay. So I'm going to. All right. This podcast is a way of shutting that whole thing down.
Hashtag old jokes.
Hashtag Todd Akin.
Anyways.
He might go down in history as like my favorite politician of all time. Just the cojones and the hubris it takes to just be like, oh, I can't beat your argument. I'm going to make up something out of thin air. And hope that,
but you're on a podcast with somebody who does that all the time, and I'm about to.
Yeah, but he was on Meet the Press, on one of the longest running and most well respected.
Well, no, that interview was actually not
political.
On Meet the Press.
It wasn't.
No, it was on Charles Jayco.
Oh yeah, it was Jayco.
Which, who, by the way, I hate. I will say that on this show. Annoying. I hate he's Charles Jayco. Everything from the voice to the way he approaches topics to the way he tries to manipulate people in St. Louis. I hate that clown.
I mean, he's
least favorite people in local media for me here in the Midwest.
He's pretty big in St. Louis local media.
No, he is, but he's one of my least favorites.
Yeah.
And it's not a political thing because I don't know how high she'd be on there, but she would be on there.
Okay.
You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Here's the story I was going to parlay that comment into. And I know you're going to love this and think it's the greatest thing ever.
Probably.
And I think it's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Well, then I'll definitely love it.
Headline, mission to Mars is necessary for, quote, survival of human race.
Absolutely.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever
Absolutely.
Heard.
Absolutely.
Stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, okay. Why?
Here's the article. NASA Chief Charles Bolden wants humans to land on Mars by 2030. And there's a picture of him. Mm-hmm. A manned mission to Mars is necessary for our, quote, species to survive, says NASA Chief Charles Bolden as he plots a three-step plan to land humans on the red planet by 2030. To achieve this stellar ambition, Mr. Bolden, head of the U.S. space program and veteran space shuttle pilot, outlined a series of stepping stones to Mars that include lassoing an asteroid and bringing it into the moon's orbit by 2015, growing plants in space, and using 3D printers for onboard repairs. These steps in advance of a 3-year return trip to the red planet would not only bring scientists new samples from outer space, but would provide a valuable testing ground for key technologies necessary for manned missions. Speaking at the Humans to Mars Summit, Mr. Bolden told The Times, quote, if this species is to survive indefinitely, we need to become a multi-planet species. We need to go to Mars, and Mars is a stepping stone to other solar systems. I can tell that you are just so thrilled with what you're hearing right now. You're looking at me with just childlike wonder.
No, I'm not. I'm actually trying to go over an argument in my head for what I know you're going to say, and it kind of goes back to some other things. But anyway, continue.
Well, I mean, I could read the whole article, but that's basically it. There's some more details about what they're trying to do. There's an image here of Mars taken by Viking 1. Mr. Bolton also revealed more projects under development. These included NASA's solar electric propulsion system and ion thruster that uses beams of electrically charged atoms to navigate in deep space, and the Orion multipurpose crew vehicle, which is billed as the next generation of spacecrafts that will be used for future trips to the moon and Mars.
Mm-hmm.
Critical to these bold plans, the Space Chief Agency... The space agency chief further highlighted the need for increased funding from the White House. Of yeah. course, we have to have money from the government.
Listen.
From the taxpayer.
Yes. Okay. Listen. Like you,
reason number one.
You get angry over us funding technology like NASA, but you...
Give Google $1 million. I mean, that's a drop in the bucket to them, but give, why don't we fund Google Glass or self-driving cars? That's actually the next story Google's been making.
Uh-huh.
Like NASA's, leaps and bounds
NASA's
with their self-driving
important.
Car. Really? Yes. Really? Being able to grow a tulip on Mars is more important than a self-driving car?
Yep. Yeah. What does a self-driving car do for you? Allow you to talk on the phone as you're going from point A to point
okay.
B?
Okay. Drunk driving accidents eliminated.
No.
Across the board.
No. No.
Really? With self-driving cars?
Nope. You don't know drunks, do you? You put a drunk in a car
and
they will find
slip down
a way
a hill behind
to crash
his apartment.
It. Exactly. They will find a way to crash that car.
Okay, greatly reduced. What? Greatly reduced.
Greatly reduced, but you can't. You're still dealing with human error.
Yeah.
You're still dealing with that drunk being like, oh, I'm not driving. Okay, let me open the door and fall out. Boom, dead. Like, there's still human error.
Yeah.
Within that. And what?
And so, so we won't be able to get drunk on Mars when we're all living there in, I guess, what will be like a global mall?
Well, not at first.
not till we learn how to make liquid, to make liquor in space.
Well, it's the same as you would make it in regular gravity.
Is it?
I imagine so. Yeah.
Well, you would imagine the period down here for a woman is the same as it is in space, but maybe it isn't.
Let's go back to an argument that we talked about a couple weeks ago. Remember when we were talking
about technology in space? I know.
Well,
it's an age old.
Well, no, it's more than that. We were talking about solar energy.
Yeah.
And about how in the 80s and 90s
propulsion system.
We were talking before ion propulsion, which is what a lot of astro and physicists and cosmologists think is going to kind of be the next level of propulsion.
Right.
But in the 80s and 90s, they were toying with an idea of solar sails and using solar energy and being able to unleash these giant reflective sails that would allow us to use the actual light energy from the sun
mm-hmm.
or from a star
right.
to be able to sail between galaxies and stuff like that, between stars. It was a bust. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It was a bust. Didn't work. However, what we did get out of that was vastly, vastly improved solar panel technology.
Mm-hmm.
Where now we can
we're using it to build solar farms and things like that. You don't know. They could do whatever they want.
Yeah, that was a weird intermission. I'm sorry, folks.
That was a weird intermission. We just paused the episode. I don't know if you could tell there which has happened the last couple of episodes because I forgot to delete in the card, but that wasn't the case this time. Matt, why don't you explain
happened? There was a knock on the door, and I looked at the people.
You may have heard it. I guess I won't edit it out. You can hear it.
I looked at the people, and there's a cop standing.
A police officer, uh-huh. yes. A law
there.
Enforcement
So immediately
personnel.
I ran to the bedroom, and I started dumping stuff down the toilet. just as fast as I could.
Yeah.
I had to eat about an ounce and a half of mushrooms.
So this episode's going to get great.
Well, in about half an hour, it's going to get great.
Yeah.
No, but there aren't any drugs in the house. So I opened up the door. I'm like, something
Hello?
I can help you with, officer? Hello.
Right.
And he's like, you guys have any smell, any like chemicals around or anything like that? Like like gas leak or anything like that? And he used the word chemical, not gas leak, which immediately I know what he's looking for.
Yeah.
Then. So he's, and I said, nope, haven't smelled anything.
Amphetamine.
Exactly. He's looking for somebody who's cooking meth.
Yeah.
And so.
Now, and you guys.
Or they wouldn't have called the cops. That would have been the Laclede guy out there.
Right.
It's a cop, and he says something about smelling chemicals.
Smells. Right, right.
He's looking for methamphetamines.
But now to clarify, now you're done cooking meth, though, right?
I haven't cooked meth in a couple of years.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
So.
No, I've
your
never.
Your Heisenberg
never,
days are over.
Never cooked meth. Anyway,
first time for everything. What are we doing this afternoon?
What I was saying about the space program of the 80s and 90s gave us vastly improved solar technology.
Yes.
And to wit, if we had, during the 90s,
mm-hmm.
the way the liberal hippies in America wanted to, invested in solar technology
It'd
and
be
the
used
infrastructure.
For a big portion of the grid.
We would
right
have
now.
We would have the tech. NASA worked on the technology through the 90s to get us to the point now. If we had only bulked up the infrastructure, we could marry those two of technology and infrastructure. To where we could be getting a large portion of our energy needs from solar technology rather than from fracking. And now, since we didn't invest in infrastructure, now we have to get energy from fracking,
right,
which is causing sinkholes and poisoning our water. Anyway, it's the worst thing we're doing to our environment right now. However,
let me pose a potential flip side.
What I'm saying to you right now about this Mars, mm-hmm, mission to Mars, we being able to see what the planet's like, maybe see if we can terraform it. But what NASA does is it's about 20 years in the future of our technology, and it's developing the prototypes and experimenting with technology to see, okay, new propulsion systems, new fuel sources, new ways of living in space or on Earth.
Hold on a second. It's self-driving spaceships aren't mentioned in this article. The look on your face is of pure disdain.
You know there are no roads in space, right?
Are you serious?
Yeah, there's no roads.
Well, you better hope to God they use their turn signal then.
Okay, you're just reinforcing my argument, because you know why we can have self-driving cars from Google in 10 years or whatever? Because we have roads. Because we have the damn infrastructure.
Yeah.
To be able to put this technology into place. Technology, GPS? Where'd GPS come from? Where did global positioning systems come from?
People who like to get lost.
Came from NASA.
Let me pose.
You couldn't have your driving cars. You can have your Google Glass or any stupid apps on your phone without GPS.
Thank you, NASA, for Flappy Bird. Now, let me pose a potential flip side. Okay, he's talking about getting more funding from the White House, which you know is my biggest thing, right? I don't think the government is in a spending problem as it is, right?
Yeah,
and you and I both know that. Anyone that has half a noodle knows that, right?
Here's. The government, quote-unquote, doesn't have a spending problem. The Federal Reserve has a spending problem. And the Department of Defense has a spending problem.
Yeah, among
the rest
of
the government
things.
Is fine. No. The rest of the government is completely fine. If we could just get the...
That's not
the
true.
If we get the DOD to a reasonable level and not six times the rest of the world combined in spending
on
the military...
That's one of the biggest, but...
No,
government
it's the
has
biggest,
a,
not one of the biggest.
Okay, but the government has a spending problem, period. Like on the defense, the military, and a host of other things.
Mm-hmm. But you take away food stamps from single mothers, but yet you keep on building tanks that no one needs.
Right.
You've seen the stories from the past couple of months. We have tanks being built that no one needs.
And that's a problem. Like I said, the DOD is a big spending problem, right? But so many other things in the government are. Like, we're spending money all over the place we don't need to. Like, on lobbying, the amount of corporations that get money, like there's tons of money going places it doesn't need to go. Mm-hmm. That's just the bottom line. DOD being one of them, and I'm not defending that. I'm just saying that
it's a systematic problem. But I would say DOD is the number one spending problem.
Anyways, though, talking about getting funding from the government. On the flip side, it's a gamble because you don't know, right? That you don't know that the technology, for example, that they're going to develop right now, mm-hmm, to live on Mars, for example,
yeah,
is going to be useful or worthwhile financially in the next 40 to 50 years. Mm-hmm. You don't know that.
The same way that you don't know that a mother isn't going to use her WIC or her food stamps to trade for crack cocaine, or you don't know that a tank is actually ever going to get used or if it's going to sit in a warehouse somewhere, or you don't know whether or not that Fortune 500 company is lying to you about their profits of last year.
Like, exactly.
You don't know, but it doesn't mean you don't do the most prudent thing in that situation simply because you don't know all the outcomes.
It's interesting to use the word prudent, though, because why is the prudent thing to spend more money? Doesn't seem prudent,
prudent
at all.
The prudent thing isn't to spend more money. The prudent thing is to understand and know and gain more knowledge.
But that's what we would have to do to, let's say, for example, colonize Mars. It'd be more spending.
Yeah. It would be 50 years of spending billions of dollars on understanding.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, if we're poisoning the Earth we are on now and we have 7 billion people living here, in 50 years when we spent that 50, 100 billion, trillion dollars on exploring Mars or whatever, when we have 14 billion people on this planet, mm-hmm, instead of 7... And 10% of the population has clean drinking water and enough food.
Right.
Like we need more space. We need more resources. And what we need more.
And I'm that part of the argument. I'm not opposed to. And I it's not that I can't see the facts surrounding that. I want to make that clear to you and to the audience as well. Like that, I get. You know.
Yeah.
But to me, it's just like, oh, of course, another thing that needs checks from the government.
Yeah.
Who should not be writing checks right now? They should be balancing the damn checkbook.
Here's another thing.
You know what I mean? Like at a certain, like I remember this, like growing up, like my parents would get to a point, you know, and my parents were actually pretty good about handling the money, you know, with some of the struggles and things that they had. But at a certain point, you have to sit down and say, okay, we can't write any more checks. We need to figure out what we've written,
yeah,
what needs to be written, and how we're gonna continue to fund these checks that we're writing. And our government hasn't done that in 30 years or more.
Yeah. Well, what's more prudent? To take 80% of what you make in on your paycheck and spend that on your living expenses, and take 15% and pay down your credit card bills?
Or, 10% to God.
Hold on. Okay. Well, we're going to leave God out of it for a second. Or let's say you spend 10% on God, and 70% on living expenses. Sure. What's more prudent? To take the remaining 20%? And say pay $15 or 15% of what you've made on your credit card bills, paying that down, and then 5% into a savings account, or to take the whole 20% and pay down your debts. What's more prudent?
I think it depends on where the debts are.
Okay.
It really depends on where the debts
are. But I'm going to tell you this, it's always prudent.
And looking at where the government is, I think the debts are bad enough that you need to start really focusing on
no those. Matter, any financial advisor will tell you, no matter how much money you save, you need to save something. There needs to be a certain percentage that you save. You don't use to pay your bills. You don't use to live on. You simply save it.
Yeah.
Okay? Because you need to save some money for the future because you don't know what's going to happen. And sure. I think it's the same thing with NASA. There's a certain amount of money that we need to specifically spend on the future, a certain percentage. And NASA's what is the percentage of NASA's budget of?
Oh, I don't know. I don't have any of those.
1%, 2%? It's single percentage points.
I'm sure, yeah.
If even that.
Yeah.
And it's something that we're going to need in the future. Like, I don't get the argument, though. Like, should Christopher Columbus and Amerigo Vespucci never sailed the Atlantic? Because, I mean, how much did the Spanish crown, I mean, it was $5 million that the Spanish crown gave Columbus for his initial, just one voyage?
Right.
One three-ship voyage to America.
Right.
It was millions and millions of pounds of gold that they gave him to do this.
Yeah.
It was an investment in the future. They didn't know what was across the sea. They didn't know what was in the sea.
Yeah.
But it was still an investment in the future, and it paid off because Spain and then Portugal, the New World, I mean, made superpowers of Spain and Portugal and England, and what was the other one? The Dutch, right?
Yeah.
The French.
Yeah.
You know, there's anyways, the reason why people in Brazil speak Portuguese.
Yeah. That's about all there is to be said on that. Two different sides of it, I think. I will say this, though. I do think it's cool. If you're asking me just if I think this is a cool idea, yeah, I think it's amazing.
Yeah.
Like colonies on Mars, that sounds pretty awesome.
One more point, just I want you to think about this. You don't have to comment on it.
Well, if we could boil it down, I'll do that in a second. Go ahead.
The first commandment God ever gave man. I've asked you this question before. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Be fruitful.
Right? So why are we going outside the earth?
Do good something point, productive. Matt. Multiply. Have families. Fill the earth, which to me equals explore, right? Because if it's supposedly one woman, the entire earth. We've spread out and explored like it was all their playground to explore and get to know. Mm-hmm. So why stop at the limitations of the Earth's atmosphere?
Yeah. So to boil that whole thing down,
if God gave this whole universe just for us, just for this little blue ball, like why not explore the rest of space if we're here for that long?
For the one rich man listening, if I could sum this up again, like I summed up the last thing. If you're a single mom, don't do crack cocaine in a tank that we don't need.
Yeah.
That would be what Matt and I would say. Definitely is how we look at it. Now, so the other thing, the story I mentioned real quick, I'll post it. It's a Wall Street Journal article, but it made headlines all over the place because I guess they released a document about it. But Google said Monday that its self-driving cars are now capable of moving through city streets, a more complex challenge than the highway driving the project initially focused on. The project, launched in 2009, is one of Google's first long-term moonshot research initiatives. Moonshot has logged about 700,000 autonomous driving miles using roughly 24 sensor-loaded Lexus RX 450H, which is just an SUV, looks like from the picture, vehicles. That is up from more than 300,000 miles in August 2012, the last time Google issued an update. Google said it has caused no accidents so far when its vehicles are in self-driving mode. Google said it shifted the project's focus to city driving from highway driving about a year ago because built-up areas are where most people live and drive. Quote, it's really important to be able to drive on city streets if we're going to make meaningful progress toward making self-driving cars a reality, the company said. So, again, a lot of money. It's from the private sector, though. Google can do whatever they want with their money.
Sure.
But, again, on the cool meter, I think this is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we don't have jetpacks, for Pete's sake, which is what I was promised. You know, when we hit the year 2000, when I was a kid, I was told that in the 2000s we'll have jetpacks and space homes and stuff.
I think driving cars are still 30, 40 years away.
30 to 40, really?
Cost prohibitive.
Since August 2012, they have 700,000 miles, not one accident, and you think they're that far away?
It's cost prohibitive. Why don't people drive Teslas? Is there $120,000 a piece, right?
But people drive, but as our one listener can attest to, people drive very nice cars that are very expensive.
Sure, but actually, you know what? I don't think they drive them. People who have enough money to buy a $120,000 car.
Buy $120,000 at some point for fun.
Yeah. But most of the time, they're probably going to drive their Lexus or their Beamer, something that costs like $60,000.
Their $90,000
car. Right. Or their $80,000 car, right? But they're not going to drive that all the time. Now, a self-driving car, to me, like, what are you going to pay $200,000 for? If you need that many sensors, that many computers, that much calibrations, I don't see how that's economical. Number one, but number two, I don't know.
But spending $1 billion on living on Mars is economical. This man, the hypocrisy.
Except that what drives NASA isn't private sector funding. It's not private sector funding, but it's not demand, right? What's driving Google is making a product that people will buy and spend a lot of money on.
Yes and no.
NASA's goal isn't to do that.
But Google is one of those companies that...
develop the technologies to sell to people, though.
But Google is one of those companies that has said, and they have portions of their company and things that they're working on, that they work on just because they want to make lives better, which sounds like cheesy corporate garbage. I'll be the first one to admit.
Yeah.
But they do come from a point of view of wanting to advance technology for technology's sake, not necessarily a marketable product that, for $99.95, you can have in the palm of your hand.
Sure.
Like, you know what I mean? And now, certainly, the majority of what they do is based on that.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention the biggest advertising company in the world, or on the internet, maybe. You know, but they do want to advance technology. At least from what they say, they want to advance technology for technology's sake.
Mm-hmm.
So,
which is what NASA's trying to do.
Like this is, yeah. But why use the government's money?
Because it's a government organization that was founded by the government I don't think it's a government organization. Yeah, it is.
I don't think NASA's totally a government job.
They fall under the umbrella of the government.
I think a lot of their funding comes from the government, but I don't think
you don't actually work for the government, but the government owns NASA.
Do they?
Yeah.
Then why haven't we put missiles on every NASA? Like,
because there's nobody to fight in space.
Oh, sure there is, man. Aliens.
No, there's not.
Aliens.
Ronald Reagan tried to do it when the Alzheimer's got to him.
On somebody commented, so
build space lasers so that he could knock bombs out of the sky.
Then why wouldn't you want to do that? That sounds so cool.
Because we can already do it. We don't need to build a multi-billion-dollar space ray gun. Because we can already do the same thing from the Earth.
Not with a ray gun in space, though.
Yeah, but we can already do it from the surface of the Earth without having to spend $1 billion.
It's like in the Wild West. Speaking of Reagan, it's like in the Wild West. You could punch a man and solve things.
Yeah.
But why? When you have your Colt. Won the West, bro.
Right.
What's going to win the West of Space?
Probably SpaceX. I mean, you have what's there's that? Two big companies. You don't know about SpaceX? Okay.
Is that Richard Branson's thing?
No, his is the Virgin Mobile, or Virgin Galactic is Richard Branson. And he's trying to build a...
commercialized space travel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where you
like
can...
spend $100,000 on a ticket to go and see the Earth from...
Yeah.
Another planet.
And if I had $100,000, if I had $200,000 lying around, just $200,000, uh-huh. that's all I had. Uh-huh. And it cost $100,000 for a ticket to go up into space in an airplane and be in zero G and look out the window and see the Earth and like orbit the Earth for a couple hours, I would totally do it.
Yeah.
If I had $150,000 and it cost $100,000, I would do it. Spend almost all my money on just doing that? Absolutely. Absolutely. I've read astronauts' accounts of being in that space shuttle or that space capsule.
Yeah.
And they said
no doubt it's awesome.
They say that feeling that you get is like no other high trip. It's the ultimate headspace and head buzz just to look out that window and be able to see that everything in your entire existence, all the contained knowledge that you have, is millions of miles away, and it's right on this little tiny blue
speck
piece of
yeah.
rock.
Yeah.
And everything is there that you know. All your frame of references are there, and it's just this vast...
You're outside of that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's got to be a mind trip like no other high is, like no other buzz is. And for a psychonaut like me, like that, yeah, that would be an experience and something that I would... definitely jump at that and like the opportunity to meld my mind with a computer. If when I'm like 90 years old and you can download your consciousness onto a computer and just like live in a mainframe, I would totally do it.
What?
Because then you have an infinite amount of time to completely explore your headspace and your own consciousness and the infinite vastness of the human mind.
Unreal, the things that you say.
The only reason we're not omniscient...
If you, the listener, would like to fund Matt's trip to space,
yeah,
please go to tripodbroadcasting.com/support and download a free audiobook to yeah. send Matt to space.
I would thank you very much. But there's two
Will
programs.
Will you write about it?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
There's two programs.
This is the least you can offer.
There's Virgin Galactic and SpaceX. SpaceX is a privately funded...
Oh, no, I heard
started,
about that one.
It started by like a think tank.
And like planning to go to Mars and colonize it, right?
Exactly.
Well, they're looking into greenhouses and how to. Yeah,
it's a private corporation.
I think I heard about that on Coast to Coast a while.
They're
back.
Doing exactly what NASA's doing. They're trying the only reason
in the private sector.
Exactly, because yeah. they've seen what NASA has done from the 1950s,
right?
And realized that so many of the technologies that are making so much money today, right?
Yeah,
touch screen technologies. Firewall technologies. Oh, yeah. Oh, still baby.
My wife just sent me a picture of my baby, and he's adorable.
They, they realize that there's a ton of money to be made off, not just going to space, but utilizing technology that you have to develop to go to space.
Yeah.
And making money off of that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We need to take care of tax loopholes in the spending of the Department of Defense before you start chipping away at NASA.
NASA should be the new Department of Defense. Like, if on a federal level, mm-hmm. riddle me this. I'll drop one last logic bomb, and then we can end the show.
Okay.
If we mandated that everyone over 21... in a healthy frame of mind, carried a gun. We could get rid of the military other than forces that keep people from attacking, mm-hmm. right? Like just strictly local defense. Pull out of every country we're in.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure everyone in the United States has a gun
mm-hmm.
and can be called up to military service if we're attacked. Okay? Get rid of all of the military. Give that whole budget to NASA for the next 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
We'd be on Mars by 2030. And I'm talking, you could go to a Walmart on Mars, buy yourself a Diet Mountain Dew, and go back and play Xbox 2 in your Mars condo. Is that a world you wouldn't want to live
maybe,
in,
Matt? Maybe. No, I definitely don't want to live in a world where everybody has a gun.
Of sound mental, you have to prove that you're mentally
sure
that all your eggs are in the carton to be able to carry the gun.
Yeah.
Which I think you should be able to do anyways. I'm not, I mean, that's the problem. Every time anything happens, everyone's like, yeah, guns. That's your problem.
Yeah.
Psychos carrying guns.
The reason why I disagree with that argument is because I don't think people should have guns if they want. You want to have a gun, have a gun. Fine. Right, as long as you're not pointing it at me.
It shouldn't be forced on you. That's fair.
As long as you're not pointing it at me, I'm totally cool with anybody having any gun they want. The only thing is...
When you point it at the people you shouldn't.
No, it's that wars aren't fought with guns anymore. They're fought with...
Spaceships.
They're fought with... You know, we fought them with nuclear warheads, but now we fight them with Scud missiles and drones and biological weapons and economic sanctions.
When is the Second Amendment going to be applied to the right to... of a citizen to own a drone? That's my question.
You know, if the government can have them, why can't you? That's flawed logic, though, and I don't actually believe that.
Right, because however, I think legally I'm only allowed to have a certain amount of debt, whereas they're not.
So yeah.
That's the biggest problem there.
You know.
Anyways, that's been Give That Some Thought. I had a couple other things I wanted to talk about, but that's been plenty long.
Sure.
Yeah. If you're rich, please write us a check. If not, go get a free audiobook where we give you something to give us money.
Yeah, go to audible.com.
Audibletrial.com/tripodbroadcasting. The banner's on tripodbroadcasting.com. Mm-hmm. But follow Matt on Twitter, @suburban_wizard. You can talk to him about, I don't know, how cool it would be to be on Mars or whatever. And you can talk to me about, you know, sane, rational things.
Sure. That's it.
Yeah.
See you later, everybody out there in audio land.
This has been a production of Tripod Broadcasting.